another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Well, today is Friday. It's the end of the week, and I'm just going to get to a couple of things. Yesterday, at the end of the show, I promised that I would play the remainder of the panel discussion between myself and Andrew Hitchcock and Andrew Craig and Mark Dankoff and David Duke and myself. And so we'll do that. And then the second part of the show, we are going to play the rest of the Zero Schizo interview. So these are things that were recording sessions that went beyond the RBN format, but I think I can fit them all in here. So without further ado.
About 12 to 14 month cycle, not a single one of those nine parties had been certified by the FEC. Mm-hmm. So talk about democracy. Bull crap. This is just, it's nothing.
Yeah, and of course, Mark Dankoff is also, he's got the experience of running for the Senate from a third party. But, you know, this goes way beyond the FEC. You have the ballot access laws in states vary greatly. In some of them, they're not draconian. Some of them you can get on relatively fairly and easily. But others, it's completely draconian. The signature requirements to get on the ballot for a third party could be as many as 20 times or more than what it is to get on the ballot for Democrats and Republicans to get on their primary ballots. And you also have the example in certainly in Pennsylvania, where Ralph Nader was kicked off the ballot because they went through his ballots, his ballot access petitions, and struck signatures because one was in a felt tip pen and the other, and the voter registration had been in a ballpoint pen, or just spuriously knocked off these signatures, and then he was ordered by the judge to pay the Democratic lawyers the court fees for something like $100,000. And so, you know, these laws and the secretaries of state who for the states that enforce the laws, it goes way beyond the FEC. And, you know, then you ask, where's the democracy? But I know Mark's got more direct experience in this, having run in Delaware.
Yeah, I think Mark, we'll look for a comment from Mark. I just wanted to interject a quick thing. In Alabama, A3P looked for the certification. They said we needed 1,000 petitions, and we would be put on a ballot. We produced 1,370. I said, let's go over, by 20 or so percent, because they're going to disqualify some. They told us that they were disqualifying 400, which put us below the 1,000. And then I said to them, okay, I'd like to have a copy of the lists so that we can, how did you, they said, we have a list, and they said the list is confidential. So I just... Mark?
Well, what do you say? The bottom line in all of this, and I'm not taking up the rest of the hour with some of my barroom stories about running for the U.S. Senate and what it was really like. The bottom line is what every one of us has been talking about in different phases of this legitimately, and that is, the deck is stacked. The deck is so stacked that anyone who believes in quote-unquote democracy is our masters of deception, looking at Dr. Duke's 5.2 MB file here. Anyone who believes in democracy is the masters of deception have managed to deceive the masters on is absolutely hopeless, because we keep playing this game every 4 years in the presidential arena, every 2 years in the off-year elections, and as you watch this whole thing unfolding with the fraud going all the way down into state legislative races, people running for county dog catcher, certainly the situation with media and corporate media and all the rest of it, Dr. Duke's stories and your stories, Adrian, fit into this larger picture. The question is begged, what do we do? What do we do at this particular point? and I don't have the answer to that. The answers that I come up with are not ones that give me any degree of comfort or ones that I would mention over the air, that are about the only thing left open to masses of people who may, in fact, by this time have figured out that something is wrong and that the deck is stacked against them, but they don't know what to do. Many of them have given up.
I'd like to comment on that because I think it's real important that, yeah, the deck is stacked against us, but let me tell you something. The deck is less stacked against us in a lot of practical ways today than it was back in our earlier days. Creed can talk about this, you know. I mean, but back in the old days, we had three TV networks. That was it. And we had no real way to reach the people instantly with massive videos or talks or things to really effectively do that. And it's really important to understand that just about everybody has email. And anybody can go to any of these sites. They don't even know what's in the file. You can upload a file. A good example is WeTransfer. You can send up to a 2-gigabyte file. So any movie you have, any documentary you have, any PDF file you have that's large, that might be bigger than, say, a limit on the size of an email, you can share with your friends, and you can link these things all over the world. We all have email addresses. We can keep our address books today forever because it doesn't take up hardly any space on any computer. It doesn't take just a pinprick of space on your cell phone. And you can take a program and you can immediately send an email to all your people, who your friends, associates, people, whatever, your whole life, and say, take a look at this video or take a look at this document or take a look at this thing. I sent you a little document called Masters of Deception. And it is an amazing book. I'm going to talk to the guy. I hope to talk to the guy at some point. It's by Xander Fierza. And it's called Masters of Deception, Zionism, 9/11, and the War on Terror Hoax. And it's an amazing, amazing book on PDF. It's free. And it does, a lot of it goes into 9/11. And I feel almost like 9/11 is a rabbit hole because we start getting down 9/11. It's like you can spend a whole lifetime just on all the different conspiracy theories around 9/11 and some of the facts around 9/11, whereas it kind of ends up negating or doesn't get to the core of the Zionist problem. 9/11 is part of that whole problem, but it's so convoluted that it's very difficult to do it. But the chapters he has in here on, for instance, the war in Iraq, the planned war in Iran, what goes on in Syria, are just absolutely amazing, and are documented primarily from Jewish sources like Panic and all these other Jewish publications, and he does a great job on that. I'm going to try to talk to the guy and suggest that he academically footnote the book. That's the only thing that I find missing. He has a lot of links that you can use through the internet and get a link for it. But I promoted this on my Twitter feed. We ought to put a link on that on davidduke.com. I hope Dr. Slattery is listening because he helps with that. And this is an amazing book. It's free, and it's a tremendous, tremendous resource on a lot of these issues. It does focus primarily, in the beginning anyway, on 9/11. But he starts off, like, his first chapter is Terrorism, a Jewish Tradition. And he goes right back to the Old Testament, and he goes to the Talmud and showing the incredible, clear terrorism that's being, you know, promoted against enemies of Jews. And it kind of goes right up to the present time. And he also has some current things. For instance, he has Jewish documents from the Irgun, commanded by Menachem Begin, and about the terrorism that they used to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians for the land. And also, he goes into detail about the divide-and-conquer strategy. So we have the ability to get out things more than we ever have. And there's more, I believe, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, there is increasing awareness. Like, for instance, the alt-right today, everybody understands the fundamentals of the Jewish question. This wasn't true 15, 20 years ago. So we all here have been working on this a long time, many years, most of us decades. But what we've been working on for years to bring this awareness to people is increasing. And it's important, I think, we don't black pill people because, again, people have to believe in the possibility of our victory. I not only believe there's a possibility, but I believe if we keep working and we show the courage and the intelligence that we've been given, if we do that, we will win. These people are a tiny number. They have a lot of power, But there are millions upon millions of people who have more brain power than all the Jews combined on the planet. Just white people, not counting others. There's Chinese that are smart. There's, you know, a degree of all people all over the world are very intelligent. And when we combine and we work to free our world and to free our individual nations, I think we'll be unstoppable. We just have to reach a critical mass, and we are kind of accumulating that right now. So I believe this is not a time to feel too depressed and too negative. Yes, there's a lot of negative things in the news, but I do believe there is an awakening going on across the Western world that is unprecedented. And across the planet, even among the Democrats today, I mean, half of these Democratic candidates wouldn't go to AIPAC. I mean, this is
although many of them who didn't go had private meetings with their AIPAC representatives.
Well, that's right, they did, but this is still a sign.
It is a sign.
And I think it's eventually going to happen.
They don't want to be seen there.
There's going to be some schisms in the Republican Party, too, on this. And when that happens, it's just about all over then, when you have some...
No, I think we should start a big movement to implement FARA against AIPAC. If
foreign
they had to register as a foreign agent, they'd be toast.
Your Foreign Agents
well,
Registration
more, so
Act.
You understand that we have a law, and this is another, you know, peripheral issue, but it goes right to the heart of the Zionist issue and the control of our government and the fact that we have no real law. There is a law which is passed by our Congress. I ran for Congress a few times, so I got really caught up in all these aspects of Zionism and the Congress. So there's a law that the government of the United States passed that says if any country develops nuclear weapons and doesn't join the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and sign it and allow inspections on, any country that does that will not get a penny of American aid. Now, this is a fact. This is a United
Listen.
States government law. Right,
David, I understand that, and I understand very clearly, and I understand the FARA thing, but you realize that we have 14% of our legislatures are Jews, and
right,
they're going
right.
to vote against it, and any other guy who is not a Jew and votes
yeah.
for the implementation of FARA or that law to be implemented will be out of office by the end of the week.
Of course, but here's a weapon for us to expose people like never before, because this is the kind of thing that we can do today with the Internet and spread the truth, and that's why there's this rising level of truth, which has got to be encouraging. If we just keep saying the sky is falling and we have no chance, the average person says, well, why should I do anything? Why should I risk my life, risk my family, risk my finances, risk my business, risk my future to do anything? Right now, they're trying to tell young people that if you go and post anything or just go to watch a video on the Internet, that they're going to destroy you. This is fake. This is the kind of same kind of thing. Sometimes I think Alex Jones is an agent in the sense that back in, if you remember this, I remember this clearly in the back in the 1980s and 90s, Alex Jones was putting out the FEMA camp thing, that all the FEMA camp was going to round up everybody put in the FEMA camps if you dared to stand up and do anything. It was not true, but it was very good at keeping people in the movement from doing anything because of fear of taking out FEMA camps. They're doing that now to young people. There's millions of people posting now, and there's ways to post. You can do it completely anonymously, but if they convince young people that they can't even post or they can't even talk or they can't even send an email to their friends without being destroyed in their career, their life, their job, or whatever, if that becomes what people think, that itself is enough to stifle the movement we have to have. And the truth is, it's not true. But this is the same kind of lie as the FEMA camp lie a few years ago. I'd like to get your all's comments on that.
Well, I've got to end the show, I'm afraid, because we're literally out of time. But folks, if you switch to rentsradio.com now, you will get Dr. Duke's show today live with Atty Invictus. So that's rentsradio.com. So we're now in the downloadable part of the show because we're just over the hour. So we've got time to go round, everybody. First, Mark, where can people find your work and what have you got coming up show-wise in the next week?
Well, I think my next significant show is with you, Andy, on April the 3rd of this week, I understand. So I'll be on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show once more. Also take a look at what Dr. Don Boyes has given us about the deadly truth about South Africa. You can find that at American Thinker.
Excellent. And Dr. Slattery, what have you got for us, your website and when your show goes out, etc.?
So go to nationalbugle.com. That's, well, Mark posts most of the links there, but great news amalgamation site. And, of course, there's National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And Mark's frequently there. I hope to get him there again this week. And, of course, I'm on Dr. Duke's show and Stormfront Radio, which is going to be starting in just about 20 minutes, both on the Wrench Network.
And does your show air on RBN?
Yeah, the RBN show, it's daily at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, the Stormfront Radio is 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Wrench Network.
Excellent. And Dr. Duke, can he message your show? Of course, that's...
Yeah, well, I suggest everybody listening go to my Twitter. It's still an amazing resource. We get about an average of about 250,000 Twitter reads a day, which is pretty doggone, you know, impressive, I think. And we've got all kinds of links there. We've got links to the National Bugle Radio show. We've got links to programs. We'll certainly put a link on for this show. It's an excellent show today. And I suggest you go there. I'm also now doing a TV, a video program called The Revolutionary Conservative. And you can look that up on Google, but you can also find that and some of the recent TV programs I did. I've got one. Well, I've got a bunch of them on a lot of things. And by the way, one last word on the Zionist issue. As you probably know, it's even breaking news now, even in mainstream news, that Zog, Zionist Occupied Government, wants to sell nuclear technology to Saudi Arabia. And this is the regime that's the biggest exporter of terrorism in the world by far, flooded Syria with al-Qaeda and ISIS jihadists, is bombing and starving millions in Yemen, dismembers journalists. I mean, frightening. This is what I wrote on Twitter today. Frightening is not even the word for it, you know. And these Zionists are hoping they see they can't get away with nuclear bombing of Iran. But they're not really worried. They know they've got Saudi Arabia because they can take all their money from the banking. So they know that if they get Saudi Arabia to do this, the blowback won't come to them, even though they're the ones that are orchestrating this. So Jared Kushner and the Zionists are now trying to give none other than Saudi Arabia, the Sharia law, radical jihadist state, nuclear technology, which they can use to build a bomb.
Wow. And finally, Adrian, where people can find your work?
You can find me on AtoZPublications.com anytime. Buy some of my books. I need the money. Take care.
Well, that's folks, an honest man.
To everyone's websites, I just want to say that Mark, Adrian, David, and Patrick are very good friends of mine. Delight to have them all on today. And I want to pay special tribute to Adrian for hosting the show today. I think he did a fantastic job.
So, and you'll be on with my show tomorrow. Don't forget that one, folks.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I will be on the David Duke show tomorrow. And that is for 5 p.m. Eastern, isn't it? No, 12 midday Eastern.
That's and Adrian, let's schedule a show with you and I, too. And, of course, Mark Dankoff comes on my show pretty regularly as well. And, of course, Dr. Slattery's there almost every day. Thank you all. It was a great job you did, Andy. Thanks so much. I enjoyed it, especially wonderfully. It was a wonderful show, and we got a lot of very powerful information out. You did a great job. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Duke. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, bye for
this
now.
Has been the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on Eurofolk Radio.
Okay, so that was the end of the roundtable discussion on Andy Hitchcock's show. Following the break, I'm going to be playing part two of the interview on the State of America show with Zero Schizo. It's a Peruvian show. And we were talking about Jewish power. I was just talking about the problems that you face if you start talking about Jewish power. So stay tuned and you'll hear that after the break.
Oh. Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You can't talk about these things without risking losing your career and your livelihood. And if nobody's going to talk about it, then how are 50% of the people in America expected to know if you're not allowed to talk about it? And so we've gotten to a point where people understand something is wrong, but because nobody's allowed to talk about what's really the root problem, people are very susceptible to alternative explanations, like Noam Chomsky's type of explanation, or like, scateboarding somebody else. Whether it's, it's the federal government, the FEMA camps, Alex Jones has his ideas, or
Russia.
Russia, yeah, it's Russia. It's the Arabs. There was a movie in the 1970s called Network, and it was talking about the foreign influence in the American media, but it wasn't talking about Jewish influence. It was talking about Arabs, as if Arabs had taken over the media, which is ridiculous, but it was a very popular movie. And so I don't blame people for being confused and not understanding what's happening, because you're not allowed to talk about what's happening. And this is really the essence of Jewish power. The Jewish tyranny really started when the discussion of Jewish power became prohibited. And it's not at a penalty of death, but it is at a penalty of losing your career, losing your livelihood. And that is a pretty steep penalty.
Yes, definitely. And that's also very that demotivates people because they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to lose their livelihood. They don't want to be the platform of people themselves. Because when are speaking about these issues, they are going to, now they are sending you to this specific site, which is Canary Mission, which is run by a criminal, you know. It's basically a criminal guy. It's a state criminal from Israel that runs the Canary Mission that appeared in the, that was featured in this documentary, The Lobby, made by Al Jazeera.
Mm-hmm.
They go in depth with that, with this. Yes, definitely. It's I wouldn't be so surprised if my pictures start. Yeah, if they make a profile on me within the next year. Now it's I know that's going to happen. So yeah, I don't care in any case, because you're here. It's not like, for example, they tried to pass a law or something like that, that about you cannot hate people.
Mm-hmm.
Something about hate. You cannot criticize people, but because here we actually hate our politicians, it was like, no, the politicians, they want to push it because they don't want us to criticize them. So no, fuck them. No, we want to hate it. We will hate, you know, anyone that we want to hate. So, you know, that's our concern, not yours. You don't need to legislate any of these things. If you are, maybe it's because, you know, you have an agenda. So that got anywhere. And no wonder the guy that actually was pushing this narrative and this legislation down was a man paid by an LGBT guy. He was, you know, pro, what basically the one of the many faces of the LGBT agenda over here, and he was paid by Soros. So it's like you had the whole package over there. And good thing that instinctively, by pure sheer instinct, we decided to boycott that law. But I wouldn't be surprised if this comes back at a future date under different circumstances. You know, it wouldn't be surprising to me. But going back to what the main topic was and what they we're now, let's talk about the law as well.
Mm-hmm.
Since when they began infiltrating the judiciary system? Because we know the history of the Pharisees. So, you know, they do have a history of law, Jewish law, and it's on the Talmud, it's on the, what else? It's on the Torah. So it's also a place where they actually go. But since when did we can actually notice that they were infiltrating the judiciary system in the United States?
Well, I mean, if you were to look at the Supreme Court, I think the first Supreme Court justice who was Jewish was Louis Brandeis, and he was, I believe, appointed by President Wilson. There have been others. Now we have three who are obviously Jewish. Currently, there's also what's her name, Sonia Sotomayor, who is of Puerto Rican ancestry. Now, there were Sephardic Jews in Puerto Rico, and people make the case that her mother has a name that was a common name for what do they call them, Moreno Jews, or the Jews who had converted to Christianity but maintained
the conversos.
Yeah,
the conversos.
So, I mean, she might be. Some people count her as a fourth. I don't, but I just mentioned that background. There would have been one more, because President Obama appointed a Jew to fill the seat of Anthony Scalia, who died during Obama's last year in office, and the Republican-dominated Senate refused to have hearings on his confirmation, and then Trump has appointed two non-Jews. So at this point, it's three. But of course, the judiciary is much more than just the Supreme Court. In fact, you're finding the problems that President Trump has been having in implementing his immigration program, in particular, have come from much lower.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Problems that President Trump has been having in implementing his immigration program, in particular, have come from much lower courts, lower federal courts. And there is a great deal of Jewish penetration in those courts, but even where there's not Jewish penetration, in order to become a federal judge, you have to be confirmed by the Senate. And the Senate is pretty much beholden to Jewish power. So if you have, it tends to winnow out, screen out any person, any potential judge who would have problems with Jewish power. So some of the judges who have stricken down President Trump's immigration orders have been, say, Orientals from Hawaii, or Chinese Americans from Hawaii or from Maryland. So it's not the judification of the judiciary. It's not simply a matter of having Jewish justices. That's a big part of it, but it's also through the law schools, the Jewish domination of the law schools. And I wrote a study on Elena Kagan and what she did when she was the head of the Harvard Law School, bringing in mostly Jewish professors. Because they've taken over the law schools, the elite law schools where these judges, the federal judges, come from, and because they dominate, they don't make up a majority of the Senate, but they make up a very disproportional part of the Senate
campaign financing. And so, you know, this, we know that the senators will vote unanimously for anything for Israel. And so it's very difficult for anybody who's got views that the Jewish power it doesn't like. It's very difficult for them to rise in the judiciary. So you have a Judaified judiciary, and you know, that process would have started early in the 20th century, and it would have taken many decades. But it seems to be getting stronger and stronger as every year goes by. And to see the way the judiciary has been acting these past couple of years since President Trump was elected, it just shows A, that the judiciary has been thoroughly Judaified, and B, that they are asserting themselves vis-a-vis the executive branch in a way that we haven't seen for many decades.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So it's really that they all have been infiltrated. They just, if, like we were saying earlier, some of them did infiltrate, but the others decided to change the mindset of the future judiciaries. And also because they, of the, all the teachers and all the professors, the guys that, you know, make the mindset of the future judiciaries, they also have a very strict process on which they will elect someone. And this also goes with the nepotism, you know, they are going to pick to have their champion, to have their golden, you know, in order to move forward with their agenda. So this is how it works within the judiciary system. And this is going to be very useful because we actually want to reform our own judiciary system. So maybe some strategies can be made up out of this, a couple of ideas that I'm going to consult this with my boss. So let's see what we can come up with.
Yeah, I just want to add, this was a very slow and gradual process. It's been going on for many decades, for over 100 years. It's a slow and gradual process. And the Jewish community does have a certain amount of organization. I mean, it's much more organized than any other ethnic community in the United States. I mean, it's got a lot of organization, but it doesn't have one central seat, right? There, I wouldn't, you know, it's easy. I guess it's easy for people to conceptualize, to think about a command structure where you've got one commander at the top. Like in the army, you've got the commander, and then he's got his lieutenants, and everybody follows orders. That's easy to think about, but I don't think that's how real life is. It might be like that in the military to a large extent, but in what I see with Jewish power, it's kind of like a pyramid, but it has no point at the top. You know, it's like a pyramid that doesn't really have a top. It's got an elite. And there is a certain amount of organization. You have the Conference of Presidents of the 50 major Jewish organizations, but they don't decide everything. And it's not as if, you know, the Jewish reporter from CNN is just following orders from, you know, his Jewish editor, who gets it from the Jewish boss, who gets it from the Jewish secret government. It's not quite so direct as that, but they have more ethnic solidarity than other groups. They have a greater sense of identity than other groups, and they're more likely to engage in ethnic networking, and they're allowed to engage in ethnic networking. And their main rivals, non-Jewish whites, were specifically prohibited from engaging in ethnic networking. So they're playing a game, without a level playing field, so to speak. You know, it's like playing, if you were playing soccer on a hill, the soccer or football, the one team, if you're kicking the ball downhill, you've got a bit of an advantage, I would think. And so this is what it's like, or boxers fighting, but one boxer has his hands tied behind his back. So I don't think there's a centralized power structure. I don't think it's like one conspiracy, one plan, and maybe that's why it's taking 100 years, but they don't need a plan. They work together without a central plan, and they work together effectively because of their strong identity, their networking, and their as they gain power, they further tilt that playing field. make it harder and harder for their main rivals to fight back. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, so definitely. No, they do have a plan. The plan is Greater Israel. You know, that's step one, because what next step is going to be, some people say it's going to be a world government directed by a new sort of entity. It's like that. It's going to be a replacement of the United Nations, and it's going to be inside of Jerusalem. That's a possibility. The other possibility is that they will have their strongholds in a sense, because we are at war. Because, you know, someone that behaves like that is because they have declared war on you. I have no doubt about that. Because of this, I am going to use the word stronghold. Mm-hmm. They are going to have strongholds in other places, like, for example, Patagonia could be their stronghold in South America. Hong Kong could be their stronghold within Asia. Maybe within Europe, it could be Germany, or it could be Netherlands. Mm-hmm. It could be anywhere. Or France. You know, right now, they are, Macron is going too hard on their population, you know, and he doesn't give a crap anymore. You know, it's like they are trying to do that, and maybe even in Africa, maybe they will have a place as well. I don't know which place it would be, but that's another possibility, because it's difficult to be on the mindset of what they will do, but it's good to try to have a picture of what it would be like. And that's. That also might provide us with some ideas on how to counter this. But going back to the overall strategy, is that their plan, like I'm saying, their plan right now is Greater Israel, and making sure that the existence of this place and their people it needs to happen. And in any way they can help in order to further this agenda, to have this plan fully implemented, they are going to do anything that needs to be done. Because I also watched a debate between I don't recall the name of the Jew, but he was a Jewish man, and he was debating Michael Jones. Mm-hmm. and he was defending the use of white phosphorus on mm-hmm. the population of Palestinians. And Dr. Jones said, you know, it's like, yeah, this is the typical Jewish behavior, because they do something, but they never apologize, you know. And it's not that they could be worse, and this is the most humane thing. It's like, no, man, this is fucked up. And I was like, I was thunderstruck by this, because it's true. If it was my country, I would be extremely ashamed to defend that kind of behavior. It's like, what the hell, man? Do I really know what I am fighting for? Is this what we really believe? Is this how we behave? Of course, if you have the text that say all of these other people are animals to you, that they don't matter, it's like, of course they are going to be able to solidarize even with the sickest of actions, you know, in order to defend this idea that they have, this sick idea that they have. This is what I see as a pattern in all these people. It doesn't matter if it's a more religious, supposedly anti-Zionist Jew like this guy that debated Michael Jones, or the most secularized Jews. Of course, there are exceptions, like I told you, these two guys from my country and their families, they all fight with us. They decided to die for us, and that's a matter of attitude. And this is what I recall saying to you guys on the conversation that we had on Marco Lenz's show that day, that to us it's more about attitude. Because if you have the attitude to help us, to collaborate with us, to fight alongside us, and even pay the price to die for us, for our country, for our people, it's like, we don't have a problem with you. It's like, you'll be Jewish, yeah, whatever, man. We don't care much about that. But if you have this behavior of defending the indefendable, and if you have this behavior of, you know, being a douchebag to everyone around you, it's like, we don't really want to do anything to do with you guys. Maybe you should move to this paradise island that I know is in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. Maybe you should move there. You know, maybe that's paradise for you. Maybe that's the real promised land, you know, who knows?
Who knows? So I know you invited me because you wanted to ask questions of me. I've never been to South America. I've never been to Peru. I've known some people from South America, but I don't have a whole lot of exposure to it. I remember when you were on Mark Collett's podcast, I asked you some questions about Alberto Fujimori. whom I remember. And Peru, of course, is a very big country. Peru is a big country, and South America is a big part of the world. When I look at the United States and Canada and Europe and Australia, I just see I call them zombie corpses, and I say that the Jewish power is trying to ride these zombie corpses to world domination. That the European / Anglo world, in the course of the 19th century, 20th century, amassed enormous power, economic power and military power, and it wound up attracting Jews who are mobilizing that power and then using it to extend their power all over the world, which I think is something that everybody should be alarmed at. And of course, really only the Americans or the Europeans can solve this problem, because they've got to get this, I don't know, they got to get to free themselves of the Jewish power, because I don't think anybody else can do it for Americans. And once United States and Europe are completely under the control of Jewish power, then what's going to happen to China? What's going to happen to Russia? What's going to happen to South America? You'd be contending with a much stronger and much worse problem. So I think everybody around the world should support the efforts of Americans, the non-Jewish whites in particular, but Americans, Europeans, to free themselves. But in South America, what are the big problems that you're facing? And do you think that the problems you're facing are to a great extent a result of Jewish power? This is a question for you.
Yeah. I'm glad that you asked this question. And, for example, I was reading this book, which is Why We Fight by Guillaume Fay. And he basically, parts of what he's saying, that Americanization of things, and by Americanization he means, depriving anything, making everything part of the consumerism. That's what he means by Americanization, or anything tied to, for example, blue jeans, cowboys, all these type of things that are tied to America. That's what he also means by Americanization. But of course, all of that under the umbrella of corporations, but also by the ideology of consumerism. And in a way, we are also facing that. That's our main problem, the Americanization of our countries, of our societies, because most of them, because they don't understand who they really are, there is this forgetfulness of our identity, of who we really are. And if we find who we are, we understand what we are supposed to do. Well, it's going to be easier for us to move forward. But because of the brainwashing that we also have been facing, not because of Jews themselves directly, but by the moving corpses of the United States. For example, here we have, this is the United States Southern Command. They have some bases over here. They also, something I wanted to add to you, and I wanted to tell this to Dr. Duke, but I forgot to tell him, is that they are now trying to put a base of the FBI and the DEA on the north of our country. And funny enough, it's on a city that is 1 hour to the city that we publish some articles on a newspaper. And also it's the same city in which a certain foreign agent was trying to track us down. Of course, we are in the capital city, so I didn't know that the guy must have had, it's the best intelligence assets over there. But we believe that these two things are connected to an extent. Of course, we are not the main target. The main target is always going to be profit, because there is a lot of drug gangs that have been popping up in the north, and also, drug lords, narcos, other type of criminal organizations, you know, organized crime to an extent, mm-hmm. and also the problems that we have been facing with the Venezuelan migration. And by the way, I don't know if you see, you have seen Britain, because you have always talked, you have always talked with Mark Ouellet, mm-hmm. and when speak of the grooming of the raping gangs, you know, they call him grooming gangs, but mm-hmm. also, they also say that they are Asian gangs. Over mm-hmm. here, when we see criminal gangs that are Venezuelan, they call them foreign gangs.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it's the same pattern. It's the same pattern. And what they, but because of this, we actually use this as a joke, because we say, oh, it's the Chinese again. No, it's the Yakuza this time. I know it's the Finnish. No, it's the Hungarians, man. I know it's the Hungarians. No, maybe it's the South Africans. No, it's those damn Boers, man. And it's like, we all know who it is.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake?
It's the Hungarians, man. I know it's the Hungarians. No, maybe it's the South Africans. No, it's those damn Boers, man. And it's like, we all know who it is. You know? We all know why they want to put this narrative. Because we are now facing this problem with the Venezuelan migration, because we don't have that much businesses, that much industries to put them into work, integrate them correctly into the workforce. This is the main problem that we are facing right now. But because our industry, despite all of this, despite all these problems, has always been growing.
Mm.
because of that, we believe that we might face another migration wave, but it's not going to be Venezuelan. We don't know who is going to be. It might be Central Americans, or it could be Arabs, or it could be, you know, Asians, Chinese, the Indians. We don't know, but we know that it's going to be like that. And when problems like this are going to arise at that point, they are going to say once again, it's the foreign gangs. You know, it's going to get the same thing. So those are the three main issues that we are now facing. One is Americanization of our culture. The other one is, like I'm saying, the infiltration of these foreign agencies, because they want to control the profit that the already established gangs are making. And the other one is a migration crisis that we are facing right now. And they are calling also, they are calling the Venezuelans refugees. But there is no war. Refugees of what?
Refugees of a what I would say is a Jewish-inspired coup d'état. But I'm actually it's getting kind of late where I am, and I'm going to have to leave soon. But I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I'd like to do this again.
It was a pleasure to talk with you as well. So, in any case, where do you want to plug something before you go?
You can go to nationalbugle.com, and you can find a lot of headlines that we put up. You can find links to my broadcasts on National Bugle Radio. You can download the Koshertified app, which is an app that helps you tell what food you're eating is certified kosher or not, which it's kind of fun to know. I really enjoyed being talking to you, and I'd like to do this again sometime.
Yeah, definitely. The next time we will have more time to dissect other parts, because we have forgotten to talking about these other issues, like, for example, when the funding of candidates began. So I'm going to call this part one, because part two is going to be much more deeper into that, you know, all the organization, the Zionist organizations that are giving money to the agents, you know, the grooming that happens within the I call it grooming, you know, that happens within the academia to all the future leaders and all these kind of things. You know, I would like to go to these questions on a future time.
I look forward to part two.
So we will see you guys around for part two in the future. On Friday, we are going to talk with the guys from Arctos. I don't know if you know this Polish...
No, I'm not that familiar, no.
Yeah. Arctos, and we are going to dissect with... It's going to be Arctos, the leader of my movement, and myself. We are going to try to dissect for political theory, archaeofuturism, and the ideology of human rights by Alain de Benoist, and also ecology, but on the verge of Ted Kaczynski, Bente Linkola, Edmund Greer, all these people. It's going to be very fascinating.
Okay.
So it's for Sunday. It's going to be on the Revolutionary Conservative, and yeah, I also enjoyed talking with you. It was an honor for me.
Okay.
And let's do it another time.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.